Let's go to Central Ohio right now, specifically Columbus, joining us on our live line, as he does each and every month, first Friday of the month. That goes to Dorsey Hager, Executive Secretary Treasurer of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, columbusconstruction.org. And as I indicated at the top of the show, well, Central Ohio is booming. Lots of construction. Dorsey has been doing a very good job making sure that he had labor protections, project labor agreements going on, because these are big companies. We're talking Intel, Amazon, Google. But sometimes some things slip through the cracks. Sorry, Dorsey Hager. Welcome back to the show. Talk to me about this North Market Tower project here. This is a $400 million project. I'm going to let you pick it up from there. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, it's like you started off with. I mean, sometimes a puck slips by and gets into the net. This is a good issue and a good learning lesson for everybody, especially some of our elected leaders here in the county and in the city of Columbus. But the North Market Tower, we have a North Market in Columbus, and there was a development proposal about 6 years ago to build a tower with some mixed use, residential, commercial, and then have the North Market revitalized right beside it, kind of like a crown jewel of the lower Short North area, the area that goes between campus and downtown. When this project was first batted around about 6 years ago and I had initial conversations about it, it was about $110, $120 million. Now with, material costs going up, inflation, everything else that's happened, the total construction price is probably going to be around $230, maybe $250 million. And with infrastructure and everything around it, you're probably looking at over $400 million. So there were some issues with financing. There was a gap in the budget and stuff, obviously. And the city and the county stepped in. And between the two of them, they voted to provide $66 million in taxpayer funding to help this project stay on task, 35 from the county and 31 from the city. So sounds like a good thing, right?
Yeah.
Create some jobs and stuff, like they say. But the problem is there's no worker protections tied to any of it. So if you look at other cities around the country, Philadelphia, Los Angeles, Miami, St. Louis, even some cities here in Ohio, like Toledo, Akron, Cleveland, heck, even Cincinnati, which historically has not been the most pro-labor city in the state of Ohio. They have worker protections designed for these public-private investments that either A, trigger community benefit agreements to make sure that, representatives of the underserved community, minorities, women, blacks, veterans are working on these projects, or prevailing wages are being paid on these. So that way that everybody, whether they're union or non-union, are making a guaranteed good area standard of living, a good income that's building this project. So that way everybody's sharing in the wealth, not just the people that are going to own businesses in there, not just the developers, general contractors and subcontractors, but the workers as well. And as much as we try to educate a lot of our friends at council, a lot of our friends at the county, even some of their staffers and people that work on these deals behind the scenes, there's just a humongous fundamental disconnect. And right now with preliminary, investigations that I've been doing, conversations that I've had with the general contractors and stuff, it looks like only about 24% of the contracts awarded are going to go to union bidders. So obviously for the building trades, that's a huge issue and that's a problem. We want everybody on that job to be, associated with a union so that they're working under a collective bargaining agreement, and again, making those good wages and those good benefits. But here's the other problem that lack of wage protection does. There's a very large contract, electrical contract, and we had a lot of local electrical bidders bid this project. And this is just one example, but there's a very large electrical contract that was awarded to an open shop contractor that's an out-of-state. So we know that they're going to be bringing out-of-state workers. Those workers are going to be earning wages here in Columbus. They're going to be taking that money back to they live in. They're not going to be spending it here. They're not going to be reinvesting back in this community. They're not going to be paying tax dollars here. And this is just a huge, this is a fastball down the middle that nobody took a swing at. They just watched it go right by. So I know that this was brought to my attention by IBEW 683 member Rob Dorns, NAAC president Nana Watson, who's out there fighting, you know, every day for the rights, you know, not only of workers, but also for specifically people of color and the underserved community. But, you know, this was brought to our attention. We started investigating it, started meeting, you know, I had been meeting with the general contractor for the last 6 years. I had been meeting with the CEO of the North Market a couple times for the last 6 years. And I think a lot of this drew a blank stare because he didn't understand labor protections and stuff. We stepped up and had meetings with the developers and the finance people. We met with the mayor's chief of staff, Ken Paul. You know, we met with some council people, but Councilman Dorns, you know, obviously voted against this. He was joined by two fellow council members, Lourdes Barrosa de Padilla and Shay LaFaver, because, you know, they weren't in favor of this. And this passed 4-3 by one vote. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. And it's like I say to every company or every person that comes here to do work, whether it's public or whether it's private. And I was kind of doing some research because we were talking about community benefit agreements and we were talking about project labor agreements and national maintenance agreements, which these are all PLAs. But if you look at some of these agreements and jobs that are currently going on or that have recently just concluded, you know, we have the Cerber recycling plant, we have Project Cardinal with Intel, we have Honda, we have a recycling plant in Heath, we have the new Hollywood Casino Hotel, Linden Rec Center, Fire Station 35, the Honda paint booth expansion plant that we did and completed a couple years ago. All this work totaling about $28 billion done under a project labor agreement guarantees that everybody that works on the project makes fair wages, benefits, and is able to provide for their family and, you know, make enough money to where they can retire with good health care and pension and annuity and dignity and respect. And that's something that we've got to work with council and we've got to work with the county to make sure that something like this never, ever happens again and that we take care and put guardrails in place so that it doesn't happen.
Dorsey, how many jobs are we talking about for this North Market Tower project?
I would say probably 500 to 700 jobs, which in the grand scheme of things doesn't sound like a lot. Uh-huh. But the point that I'm trying to make to some of our folks is, you know, we have our award-winning Building Futures program. It's funded by Franklin County. It's, you know, our fiscal agents creating Central Ohio Futures, which does some other workforce development programs at the city and the county as well. And then it's supported by our NAACP. So if you look at the North Market Tower, let's make the math easy. Let's say there's 1,000 jobs and 25% are signatory contractors. That's 750 jobs or 750 positions that we can't place kids from Futures. And, you know, I had a meeting with a contractor last week that's looking at a $2 billion project. And he said, well, why can't a non-signatory contractor partner with Building Futures? And I said, because the number one reason for poverty in this country and the number one reason folks file for bankruptcy is lack of health care. Lack of health care. So we're not going to go out and we're not going to recruit people in the community that are already underrepresented, that are already struggling, already having financial barriers that are keeping them out of that direct path to the middle class. Give them all this training and then place them in a job or a career where they don't have the basic human dignity of health care. We're not going to do it. So I think that's where we have to educate a lot of folks. And I thought we were doing a really good job last 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years. We've had workshops, like I said, for local electeds and staffers and talked to them about the importance of this. But, you know, am I saddened that an out-of-state contractor is going to be bringing out-of-town workers to work in the heart of our city? 100%. But I'm more saddened, and I was just there last night, I'm more saddened that our students and our kids that we're out there recruiting for this great program, many of them are not going to have any opportunity to work on a project like this.
And at this juncture, nothing can be done to rectify this. I mean, that's what it sounds like to me. Am I correct in assuming that?
Exactly. Exactly. Nothing can be done to rectify this. And my real concern is, and this is kind of coming back to me after this has all happened, is that there's some folks, you know, that are like, well, geez, you know, we just feel like the head of the building trades was really laying in the weeds to pounce on us on this. And this is a good thing. This is a good project. This is going to, you know, a lot of jobs. They should be thanking me for not pouncing on them on this. You know, any type of effort that I could have done, I think I really could have, you know, really made it very difficult for them you know, and unaware for them on this project. And you know, going back again to a conversation that I had a couple weeks ago with a developer who's looking at building another project, and he took it the right way, and I said it the right way, and I wasn't saying it, you know, in a bad way, but I said, listen, I said, and this goes into the misconception of what's going around right now in the city and the county. That's a separate conversation. But, you know, because people see Intel and Honda, they think, oh, well, we can just build this project and we can hire an out-of-state contractor and we can bring out-of-town workers in here because the local building trades doesn't have enough workers as it is, which is a totally untrue fallacy. We're manning our projects. We're expanding our apprenticeship programs. We're training more people than ever before. We're doubling and tripling and quadrupling some of our apprenticeship facilities. We're adding to our staff. We're, you know, doing everything that we need to do to meet these manpower demands. And it's like I said, there are local folks around this community, specifically Nana Watson from the NAACP, that when she goes on a project, she doesn't want to see Indiana, Kentucky, Mississippi, Louisiana, Texas license plates. So if we do have an Intel project, if we do have a Honda LG battery plant, and we need local workers on that project that are not members of the building trades, guess what? We're going to go to these open shop job sites. We're going to go to these non-union job sites. We're going to find these people that are working for non-union contractors, not working under signatory collective bargaining agreements. We're going to let them know the opportunities and benefits to work on these other projects for us.
There you go.
And we're just going to take them from there, and we're going to put them right there, and that's what you do.
Yeah, you have to. You have to. And, you know, Columbus, Ohio is in the national spotlight. I have to reflect on a conversation we had Sean McGarvey on the show about 2 weeks ago, and we were talking about his visit there some months back and how he's talking about what's going on in Central Ohio because of the partnerships that you have made to make sure that workers are protected on these jobs. So, yeah, you know, every once in a while something falls through the cracks, but you know, I know you. You've been on this show. You are a fighter, and as many of those people that come from out of town, non-union shops, just bring them over to the right side. You know, say, hey, you know what? There's a better life out there, the union way, the better way. You're going to get better wages, and you're going to get those benefits. And, yeah, you're going to get the health care that you need and deserve. Dorsey, a couple more things I want to talk about, the outreach that you're doing. Obviously, there's a lot of work going on there. You need more workers, and you're doing some outreach. But I need some explaining here. You touched on this CERBA recycling plant, and there's a national maintenance agreement. I need some clarity on that. What is the national maintenance agreement all about? Can you explain that?
Yeah, so we have our general presidents that sit in Washington, D.C., and each general president of each labor union, building trades union, or their representative sit on what's called a national maintenance board. And they just work with a lot of these Fortune 500 companies, CEOs, specifically energy companies too, like the AEP and those, and they'll negotiate these contracts to guarantee that, you know, we're going to provide the labor and the skilled labor that they need that, you know, reflects the community, obviously, local people, people of color, women, and vets. And then they guarantee that the work is going to go signatory. And it's a win-win for both sides because, you know, the customer, like I said, is making sure that their project's getting done on time, under budget, and we're making sure that we're getting the people to them that they need. And there's more and more projects that are popping up in Columbus and Central Ohio that we're starting to use these national agreements under. You know, we talked about the Hollywood Casino. We talked about, Fire Station 35, Linden Rec Center. We use local agreements on those, but there are some, that maybe are large, even multinational companies that are doing work here. And that's where the general president step in, and there's some national agreements that we have the ability to use and stuff. And they work out pretty well. They do a good job.
Good, good, good. Okay, Ohio State Fair, doing some outreach there. I know you've done this in years past. How's that working for you?
Oh, yeah. So the ACT Ohio and Kitty French works with Joe Chalky and the Cement Masons. We do an awesome three-day outreach event the first 3 days at the Ohio State Fair. It's always the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, which somehow coincides with like the hottest days of the summer too, but I guess that's okay. But we go down there, we have all our trades down there, you know, electricians, plumbers, pipe fitters. There's a lot of hands-off stuff. Some kids can pour some cement, finish cement. They can lay some brick. They can bend some conduit. They can do some basic electrical stuff. You know, they hear from all the apprenticeship programs. They hear from Building Futures, which is cool. You know, the Lieutenant Governor, John Husted, comes by. Obviously, he's lockstep with us on workforce development, especially as some of these huge projects in the state are taking off and underway, and we're attracting more projects. Governor DeWine is always, you know, present there. And a lot of our managers, a lot of our agents, it's just a great opportunity for a lot of folks who come into that front entrance of that huge, you know, Ohio State Fair to walk by, come by the tent, just see what all that we're doing and the opportunities that we're providing for members of our community to get into the building trades.
Good. Yeah, we need all we can get right now. All right, one more issue. How you feel about issue one? The election day is just right around the corner, and I guess the last day for early voting is going to be this Sunday. How do you feel about that issue, Dorsey?
You know what? I feel really well, and we had a huge rally at the IBW 683 last night. We had a ton of speakers. Former Governor Ted Strickland was there, obviously, who's representing four governors, two Democrats, two Republicans, that are voting no and are steadfastly in support of no on issue one. Betty Montgomery kicked off, was our leadoff speaker, and, you know, was talking about how obviously this isn't a Republican issue or a Democratic issue. This is a democracy issue, one person, one vote, and urging people to vote no. I got the opportunity to speak, you know, which was awesome. And one thing that gives me hope, and one thing that there's several things that I'm positive about and hopeful, and I think that we're going to defeat this thing. As you know, I live in a rural county in Central Ohio. I drive through some rural counties to check on job sites and stuff. And I said this last night in my speech. You know, I'll drive by some homes and stuff, and, you know, you see some of the rural areas in Ohio that are, you know, a little behind the times. You'll see a Confederate flag and a Trump flag. Then you see a no on issue one sign. And it's like I said, I'm taken back to my days of taking the ACT, you know. One thing is not like the other. So I think there's a lot of support from the other side for this no on issue one, because people feel like their voice is being suppressed and their rights is being violated. So I feel good about it. I think we're doing a great job of getting people out to vote and vote early. I think the turnout is higher than the Republicans expected, which is, you know, they're leery of. I thought it was interesting that earlier this week that Secretary of State Frank LaRose personally called out Dolan and Bernie Moreno, who are his opponents in the Republican primary for U.S. Senate next year, and told them to invest their own money into the vote no on issue one campaign. And somebody said, well, what about your own money? And he's like, well, I'm not millionaires like them. They have it. They should invest in this, or vote yes. I'm sorry. They should invest in voting yes on issue one, and which they're obviously not going to do. But we'll see. We're at the finish line. We'll see what happens on Tuesday. It's going to be interesting. Just talk to your family, talk to your friends. Educate them on the issues, make sure they get out there and they vote no, because like I said last night, I think this is just the tip of the spear on some of the things that maybe some of these far-right people and supporters of Americans for Prosperity want to do. I mean, they'll go for right to work next, they'll end collective bargaining, they'll look at ending prevailing wages. You know, reproductive rights is just number 1A on the top of the list. They have a large laundry item list of things that they want to do to kind of suppress organized labor. And it's like when I talk to Republicans or Democrats at the State House, when I talk to people in economic development, no matter what your political leanings are, we got a good thing going here in Central Ohio and Columbus and all of Ohio with all the workforce development, the partnerships we've built. Let's not be passing crazy laws that are going to want people look at us like we're, you know, backwards and not want people and families to want to come here and show and share in all the economic development that we're having.
Sure. You know, you touched on something, and if you don't mind, I want you to pick up on this a little more. You brought this up in a couple months ago in a conversation that I had with you. This is not just about reproductive rights. I mean, this will affect, like, bond issues in the state of Ohio. Can you explain that part to our listeners, some of them that are on the fence on this issue? Can you do that for us?
Absolutely, and I'll start off by saying this, is, you know, some friends of mine who are apolitical came to me and said, why would the Ohio Chamber and why would some of these business groups come out in favor of issue one? What do they really, you know, why is abortion on their radar? And I said, it's not. I said, what's on their radar is this, is we're looking at passing a constitutional amendment in the next year to raise the minimum wage, because I don't think the minimum wage has been raised in Ohio since 2009. Obviously, business, they feel like this is going to affect them, drive up prices. Obviously, labor would be for it, because we want people to have a fair share of the pie. So that's why they've came out, you know, in support of issue one. And that's why, you know, this is just the beginning. But, you know, this isn't, you're right, it's not just about reproductive rights. There's bonding issues. There was the third frontier that was passed that would never pass. There's, you know, there's school board levies that would have to pass by a 60% now, which would be almost near impossible to pass. And that's really going to hurt construction. I think, you know, Mike Nisley spoke last night after me, and I think he said in the last 5 years in the state of Ohio, there's been almost 1,100 school board issues that have passed in the state of Ohio, very few with 60% or more. Think about all those buildings, all those facilities, all those maintenance, you know, things that would not have happened if this was in place. So it's very important that we got to, you know, stand with democracy, 50% plus one, and we've got to vote no on issue one next Tuesday.
And if you want to get some more information, I've been hitting this website on the show, Union Strong Ohio, unionstrongohio.com. That's the website to go to. And the website for the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. Well, real simple there. It's columbusconstruction.org. And you could follow them on Twitter at BuildCentralOH. Dorsey Hager, you take care. Keep up the fight. We'll talk to you next month and unwind some of these issues, okay?
That sounds good. We'll keep the ball rolling. And, hey, last night, first night of the NFL season, preseason, Browns look pretty good. So we'll be talking about the heart of the schedule the next time we speak in September. So have a good end of the summer, Flash. Great talking to you and catching up with you.